I'm excited to be able to bring God's Word to you this evening with the Lord's Supper at hand. And when Pastor Dan asked me about it, I began going through and studying a lot of different verses in Scripture and looking at really the last 24 hours or so of Christ's life and the sacrifice that He made for us. And it led me through some of Paul's letters to the churches, especially in Corinth when he wrote to them for the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians, and then also to some of the things that Jesus Himself spoke to the disciples there in that last meal in the upper room. And so tonight what I'd like for you to do is go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And as you're turning there, have you ever noticed how a lot of times we take for granted things that are really just common in our life or something that we have been able to be a part of so frequently and so often that many times we take it for granted? And the excitement and the zeal that we maybe had at the beginning begins to wear off. Now, being one of the many in the 11 o'clock, I don't know if Pastor Dan surveyed the crowd at 9:30 or at 9:45 or 9:30. I know he didn't at 8. But on where you were from in the country, and then the 11 o'clock, somebody hollered out, "You forgot Brazil." So he had to back up and go through outside of the country. But being somebody who's born and raised right here in Daytona Beach, one thing many times that we Floridians, especially born on a coast, take for granted would be what? The beach. Many times we go to the beach growing up so often that once we become, you know, older in our years, until we have children, we neglect going to the beach and spending much time there. There's other things and we just don't see it as important until maybe a family member from out of town or a friend that doesn't live close to a beach comes in, and then we take them there and watch their excitement when they see the beach and enjoy that beautiful scenery that's there. And I was talking to Colleen about it earlier tonight, and I thought I'd mention this because I'm not sure if it was a good thing or a bad thing. She's puzzled. She doesn't know what I'm going to say. I was asking her, I said, well, what things maybe do we take for granted in life? And then out of nowhere, later on, after we had already gotten some coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, she said, I guess sometimes we take our loved ones for granted. She says, like, when they leave for a while, and then she brought up the fact that I'll be leaving to Guatemala for a week. And she said, I guess sometimes we can take that for granted, our loved ones, and we're with them so often and so frequently. So I don't know if that means she gets tired of me until I leave, or I'm not sure. We'll talk more about it later tonight, but we didn't have time once we got here to figure out the answer. But the reality is a lot of times we take for granted things. And I think what was happening here at the church at Corinth, they were beginning to allow themselves to get so consumed with things of the world, and even idolatry, and a lot of different things that they began to take for granted the observance of the Lord's Supper. And the Apostle Paul had to write to them, and in his letter he had to bring back to their remembrance what it was that it was for. So if you would look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and look, Paul gives the authority of to why he's writing this. In verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, he says, for I have received of the what? Of the Lord. So what he's fixing to tell the Corinthians is what not he felt or what he thought, but it was exactly what the Lord had given him. And when he had wrote the letter, he mentioned that this is what he received of the Lord. The rest of the verse says, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. You know, it was interesting as I was reading through that, something that sparked my memory, and I went back to Jesus' words. And Jesus told the disciples at Last Supper, he said, this do in, and what was the word, anybody know? Remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus wasn't giving them this to do as a reminder like maybe somebody would give as a trinket. Here, I want you to remember this event. A lot of times when we go out of the state or we go to another country or we go, you know, on vacation, a lot of times we bring back what? Little trinkets and things as reminders. Oh, I remember that was a nice place to be. We remember what we did there. We remember the events that took place with our family there, whatever it was. Little trinkets that are for remembrance. Jesus, when he was doing this, he was wanting to give the disciples And I believe wanting to give the church today, after he reveals it to Paul, he wanted to give us something to remember, to really focus on the importance of what was getting ready to take place. Something that they would be able to call to remembrance as often as they could. You know, it is so important to remember the significance of Christ's sacrifice for us today. It's so important that we remember the significance and don't take it for granted. I know many times when we come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and I get to watch it with the teenagers often, we'll see a teenager trust Christ as their Savior. And they get on fire and they get zealous for the Lord. And then it could be weeks, months, maybe a year later, you begin to see that fade a little bit. And they begin to take for granted what they once knew so true and so vividly when they realize their sin condition and what Christ did to forgive them of their sins. And I believe that it's so important that just not when we observe the Lord's Supper, but on a regular basis, we remember what Christ did in that sacrifice. I was telling my children earlier this week with Easter coming up, and I said, one thing we've got to make sure we do, and I think I was telling Olivia, my oldest, this, is that Easter isn't something that we just celebrate once a year. It's something we celebrate every day. It's something that we're thankful for and we're grateful to the Lord and we get excited about every day. And so what I want to share with us tonight are three things I believe we can find here from the Scriptures, why it's so important to remember the significance of Christ's sacrifice. The first thing that we see is because it identifies the believer with Christ's sacrifice. What we need to remember is the fact that the importance and the need of the sacrifice. What Jesus was doing was meeting a need. Jesus told the disciples that the cup of the fruit of the vine represented his blood that would be shed for them and shed for the rest of us. It's not that that cup was to be his literal blood or it was going to become mystically changed into the blood as they drank it. No, it was to be a remembrance of the shed blood that he was going to provide for the remission of sins. I want us to hold our places here in 1 Corinthians, and I want you to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. And I want us to think a minute tonight about the significance of this sacrifice. And we need to identify ourselves with Christ's sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 9, I want to start in verse 22. If you're there, say amen. Good. Verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with what? Blood. And without shedding of blood is no what? Remission. And what we're getting here is the book of Hebrews really gives to us a real deep insight. And you could go back and you could study the book of Hebrews with like the book of Leviticus and the Old Testament. And there's a whole lot of Jewish law. A lot of the law is provided in Hebrews showing what Christ has done for us. And one of the neat things is to show the fact that in the Old Testament, the Israelites had to go often to make sacrifice. And it wasn't just any sacrifice. It had to be a blood sacrifice. It had to be a sacrifice made with blood. It could have been the blood of calves and goats. But what was happening is that blood would then be sprinkled on the book that Moses had. It would have been sprinkled on the people at that time in the tabernacle, and the vessels in that ministry. I want you to back up and look at verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and, what does it say? Scarlet wool and hyssop, and then did what? Sprinkled both the book and all the people. Now, aren't you thankful tonight that we don't have to come in here and get sprinkled with blood? I know that my youngest daughter, Gracie, in her little Easter white dress that she's been so proud of today, would be just mortified to have to get blood on her little dress. She was doing a craft this morning and she was so careful she didn't even get it on her hands because she didn't want to get it on her dress. Now that could have been the fear of mom or it could have been the love of the dress. I'm not sure which one it was. But I'm so thankful that we don't have to go through those rituals in the Old Testament of being sprinkled with blood and providing the blood of goats and calves for our sins. But why was it? Why was it that we don't have to? Well, go down to verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You see, everything that took place there in the Old Testament with Moses was in the tabernacle, which was created by man according to God's design. And then the things that were there with the vessels in the ministry and the things that were there, and that everything was created by man. But here Christ enters into a place that we see was made without hands. And it says in verse 25, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that took for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And what we see here is that Christ took upon himself the shedding of his own blood. He knew that it wasn't going to be the blood of goats and the blood of sheep that were going to provide remission for sin for man for the rest of time. He knew that it was going to have to be his own perfect, sinless blood. Christ's sacrifice was enough because he was pure. And his sacrifice was accepted by the Father. We won't need to go into it, but the last couple of weeks, I'll tell you what, Pastor Dan's preaching on the exaltation and the ascension of Jesus Christ. It really touched my heart, and I was telling him earlier this week, just to know that there is no doubt in my mind that what Christ did was accepted because of what God had done with him. Because he was exalted, because God had set him there in the heavenlies with him on his right hand, I know what Christ did, his blood was enough. It was perfect. It was spotless. We can go back to the account of his disciples who said, "We found no guile in them. We didn't, the man had no evil. We didn't see it." But even beyond that, God says, it's done. It's accepted. And he was exalted. And I love the fact that it was done one time. Go over to chapter 10 for a second, Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 10. Because if you remember in the Old Testament, they had to go back and they had to do it again and again and again and again. And in verse 10 it says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ." And what's the last three words? "Once for all." Verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God." Verse 14. "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." One time. Did it one with the perfect sinless blood of the Son of God. And it's accepted. But what I want us to think about is that sacrifice that he went through. What we need to realize and we need to have come to our remembrance and our thinking is that what Christ did on that cross is what we deserved. The beating that he took, the nailing of his hands to the cross, the nailing of his feet to the cross, the spitting, the shame, everything, the turning of the Father, his back on the Son while he was on the cross, that wrath was ours. But he took it upon himself. And as I was thinking about the sacrifice, I thought about in the Old Testament. Do you know when somebody had to come and pay, or come and ask the priest to pay for their sins, when they would bring their offering to the sin, or to the priest, do you know whose responsibility it was to provide it? It was theirs. They would have to bring the animal. They would have to bring the sacrifice to the priest. What I love is that Christ didn't require us to bring anything. He says, "Here, let me bring it for you. I'm going to bring you the sacrifice. Because there's not a sacrifice that's going to be anything better than what I can provide for you, and I'll do it for you in your place. The wrath that you deserve, I'll accept." And he brought the sacrifice once and for all. What an opportunity it is for us every day to remember what Christ did on that cross. And allow it to turn the way that we think about every individual, and the way that we think about every action, the way that we think about everything that we ought to do. And it should change the way that we want to live. Because of what he's done, because of the cross, because of the sacrifice. When Jesus took that bread and he broke it and he told him that this was his body, then we move into the next part. He was using the fruit of the vine to demonstrate the blood of the sacrifice, but the second thing that I want us to see tonight is because it identifies the believer with the body of Christ. One of the main things here with the Apostle Paul is showing the Corinthians their need to observe the Lord's Supper and to do it in the right way, because it was important for the church as a whole. Go back to 1 Corinthians, but I want you to go to chapter 10. And we look at the significance of the bread representing the body of Christ. And it's for the purpose to remember how the Christian is to identify with the body. We see this in two areas. The first is in the unity that is to be among the body. The breaking of the bread and then all the partaking of that same loaf is a picture of the unity that's to be in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 16. He first covers the cup. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And that word communion is synonymous with fellowship. You can go and you can study the way that it was translated from the Greek to what we have here in the English, and it was from the word that means fellowship. Is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? Look at verse 17. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. There's to be unity in the body. Too many times we find ourselves at odds with one another. And what I love about the Lord's Supper, communion, is when we take of it, you know what? We're all taking of the same loaf. When Jesus broke that bread at the table with the disciples, they were all taking of the same bread. It was a picture of there was one whole loaf, and they each took their part of that loaf. There was to be unity. It was a picture of unity. And how important it must have been to Christ to see that unity in the body that he would later reveal to Paul the importance of it. And Paul would now bring it to our attention, to his letter in 1 Corinthians, the importance of that unity in the body. You know, the second thing that we see, aside from the unity of the body, is an inheritance that comes from being a part of the body of Christ. As we take communion, and we need to realize that it identifies us with the body of Christ and that unity that's represented by the body, but also the inheritance. The inheritance that, as believers, that we receive. You know, the definition, and I challenge our teenagers with this one all the time, what's the definition of grace? We need to understand what grace is. And what grace is being given something that we didn't deserve. And much more than just the forgiveness of our sins, God has provided and given us riches in heaven that we didn't deserve. He's provided us a heavenly inheritance that I didn't deserve. And as if forgiveness of sins wasn't enough, you know, God has extended that inheritance to every believer in the body of Christ. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with Christ." Christ is the heir of God. We're also a part of that. And then over in Ephesians chapter 1, for sake of time, I'm not having you turn there, but I'm just going to turn there real quickly. But in Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about that inheritance. In verse 11, he says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." You know, the Holy Spirit is our down payment for the inheritance that we're going to receive because of what Christ has done. His sacrifice, his giving of himself on the cross for us to unite us as a group of believers in a common love and a common knowledge and a common desire to glorify him. But finally, number three, why is it so important that we remember the significance of Christ's sacrifice? Because it reveals to others how to identify their need. Listen, as a believer today, we may truly know that we are a sinner and we need a Christ, but there's still people out there that don't know, that need to identify in their life their need for that sacrifice. See, the thing back in the Old Testament, people would bring their sin offerings at the appropriate time, but Christ came and did it for us on our behalf once and for all. And I think about all the people that have yet to trust Christ and receive Him as their Lord and Savior and accept what He's done for them. That He did that on the cross for them, and some of them, people just won't go tell them. Some of them, the people have heard and they've rejected. Some of them, people have just given up and said, I'm not going to go tell that person. My point is that there's people out there that Christ desires for us to still witness to. And back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when the Apostle Paul was writing this, down in verse 26, 1 Corinthians 11, 26, he says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till his come." You know, that word show is actually derived from the word that means to proclaim. The Lord's Supper is a reminder to us that we're to show forth Christ's sacrifice to others. We're to show forth Christ's sacrifice on that cross and the payment for sins for ourselves and for the world. We don't need to take it for granted. We don't need to become complacent with it and saying, well, I've got my sins taken care of. The Lord's Supper is a time for us to remember. Paul said, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. When we take of the fruit of the vine, when we take of the bread, we're showing forth until Christ returns. The importance of the believer's impact on others is constantly seen through Scripture. You think about Israel. What was God's desire? That they would be the light to the other nations. What's God's desire for us today? That we would be the light to the lost around us. It's continually God desiring for His people to allow Him to live through them and for others who don't know Him to be seen. You know, as you take of the Lord's Supper tonight, we need to understand that significance of the remembrance so that we can share it with others. You know, many people find this mystical and strange. And some people have some weird thoughts on the Lord's Supper, but what an opportunity for us to go back to our workplace on Monday, go back to school on Monday, go back to college on Monday, and share with our friends and our coworkers that we had a wonderful Easter service. We went back that night and we took of the Lord's Supper of communion. And then, depending on their reaction, who knows? But then to be able to have the opportunity to tell them, you know what? The Lord said to do it in remembrance of Him. To do it in remembrance of the sacrifice that He gave on the cross in my place. And you know what? He did it for you too. And when we took of the fruit of the vine, it was just a remembrance of the blood that He had to shed for the forgiveness of my sins. When we took of the bread, it was a remembrance of the unity in the body of Christ, His body, and that we're all to be one in the body of Christ. And we did that so that we can continue to remember the importance of what Christ did in that sacrifice. As we take of this bread and juice tonight, remember the change that Christ brought in your life when you first believed. Go back to the illustration of the beach, the excitement that we had when we first got saved. Let that be renewed tonight. Remember the impact of His sacrifice and the spiritual riches that He provided to you that you didn't deserve, and neither did I. And let's also remember, as Paul said, that we must examine ourselves. We need to make sure that we examine ourselves. In verse 28, he says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Let us search our hearts tonight. And as we take of the juice and as we take of the bread, let us do it with a clean heart. And let us do it with remembrance to what Christ's sacrifice really means. Let's pray.